This is BBC Tees. It's 7 minutes past three. If you get yourself along to the Darlington Civic this week, which I know you will, you'll see Sleuth by Anthony Schaefer. Starring in it is Michael Praed and also Simon McCorkindale. Simon, good afternoon.
Good afternoon to
you,
John.
We've made the weather suitably cold for you.
No, I love it. Fortunately, I live on Exmoor, so I'm used to the cold weather. But I have to say, this morning in Barnard Castle, where I'm staying, it was just absolutely divine. I went out early to shop, and although it was chilly, it was just beautiful. And even before I came in here, I'm afraid coming over to Middlesbrough, it got a little colder and a little bleaker, but yes, at 2 o'clock this afternoon when I left Barnard Castle, it was absolutely divine.
It was like a picture postcard.
It really did make a picture postcard.
We're seeing you in the telly at the moment on Casualty, but you're taking a break from that and going around the country in this run of Sleuth, and it's a fabulous production by Anthony Schaefer, and of course you've done this before, you've directed this before, haven't you?
Well, I mean, yes, there are so many kind of little links that go with this play, because yes, I did direct it. I directed it three times in 1982 in America, and playing the part that I'm now playing. I had Howard Keel in the first production. In the second production, I had Douglas Fairbanks Jr. And then in the third production, I had an actor called James Whitmore, who was a wonderful old cowboy actor. And literally, I mean, he looked today, he was always on a horse because his legs were sort of completely bowed. So I did direct it. The irony is that, you know, it's a long time ago. I mean, and although you remember lots of things in your career, what I don't remember is a number of the things that I did with the play. So I did come to it pretty fresh. There were obviously little echoes of the movie in the 1970s with Michael Caine and Laurence Olivier. But I only saw it then in the 1970s. I haven't seen it since. Some images that were left, I think, from that and maybe from my own productions and things. But really, we came to it completely fresh. And so that was very exciting.
And it's a fascinating play. And as it unravels, and if you've seen the film, you will know the basic storyline of it. But it's a tale of greed, possessions, you know, people wanting to try and keep hold of something, a bit of control. It's got it all in there, but it slowly unravels before your eyes. It must be an absolute swine to play, because most of it you're completely barking mad through it.
Yes, well, there are elements of that, cross between barking mad, camp, and all sorts of things. Yes, I mean, he's a complex character, Andrew. He is he's a writer. What I learned just recently, which I didn't know, was that because Peter Schaffer, Anthony Schaffer's twin brother, came to see us in Windsor, and he told me that the character of Andrew was very much based on Anthony's own character. He was absolutely obsessed with the detective story of the 1920s and the 1930s. And he was also determined to create something that was absolutely magical in the theatre, which is what he's done. He's got twists and turns that you can't anticipate if you don't know they're coming. And even if you've seen the movie or even seen the play before, it's one of those you probably don't remember all the bits, unless you're incredibly familiar with it, but you don't. And so you remember at some point this happens, and I think something like that happened, but you don't remember how or why. So the journey is always worth watching. And Anthony, apparently, the happiest day of his life was when Agatha Christie came to see this play and loved it.
It's incredible, isn't it? Your character, like you say, is the writer, and then we have Michael Braid's character, who is the lover of your wife, and you've invited him round, basically, for a little chinwag about a couple of things, that's where it starts.
And that's where it starts, and effectively what Andrew then does is proceeds to play some games with him, mind games and others, and you know, there's very little else I can tell you without actually spoiling it completely. But that's what that's the premise. Yes, it's an older gentleman, not that much older in actual fact, and that's something we've done with this production. I mean, Michael is only 8-9 years old, younger than I am, so it's more about two people who are just totally different, and it's the class structure and the background. I mean, Andrew is English, public school through and through, literally dyed in the wool, you know, Brit, will not budge from any of that. Chauvinistic to an extreme in every area, whereas the character Milo Tyndall, played by Michael, is a second generation immigrant. He came over with his father when he was a small boy, and he grew up, and although he's Italian but speaks like he's an Englishman, he's been to an English public school, but of course none of it is real in Andrew's terms. And that's the difference. And so this is not necessarily about Andrew's wife going off with a younger man, it's going off with a man who's actually nicer to her and will treat her like a woman and less like a chattel.
Mm. Your character, we've mentioned the bit of the madness that goes with your character, because you do fly off it quite a few times in the actual play itself. It must be great fun. With you and Michael, do you try and just see if you can just knock it just that little bit further so you go a bit madder? And then, because then you put it back, you rescue it, and then you become sane again, but then it's madness again.
Well, it is. It is a push-me-pull-you kind of play. And different things happen, and you know, and if something goes slightly awry, I mean, you know, as you saw last night, we had a picture fell off the wall, and a couple of things. As I've often said, I mean, theatre anyway is sort of kind of like Formula One. You never know quite what's going to happen next. But with a play like this, there are a number of things that can just trip you up very, very, very suddenly. And then within that, you then change the rhythm. Because if the audience have suddenly laughed at something that at that moment they weren't really supposed to laugh at because you were heading towards a serious thing, you then might just change the rhythm. So it does become very much how you play off each other. And of course, you know, in a long run, you'll have a day when one of you maybe has had a tough day and it's been, one's tired, maybe a bit slower than, you know, and then things just very subtly change, get into a different part of the country, audience with different sensibilities, they laugh at some things, don't laugh at others, that changes it. So, you know, you do play around a little bit with it. But, you know, it's obviously pretty much structured on a railway track as you kind of go down that road. But it is fun, and some nights you just can't play quite the degree of insanity and things. I mean, he's not insane, he's just... he's just quietly nuts.
Exactly, he's quietly nuts.
But he's in control of it all the time, because he's a very, very, very bright man. And that makes it very interesting, because as you say, I mean, you have moments when you just completely fly off it and lose it. And then he's right back being perfectly normal, which also makes him very engaging, which is why Milo goes along with the games and gets trapped into it and sucked into it.
It's a fantastic production that's on. The audience last night... What do you think? Because it was first night last night in Darlington.
Well, it was first night in Darlington for us. Well, it was a wonderful night, actually. I loved last night. There were two things from our point of view. One was that we'd just come from playing in Hayes in Middlesex, which was more of a modern style theatre, and they're kind of colder. They feel harder from a purely sound point of view. It felt like us. We were almost like we were playing more in a living room rather than in a theatre, and that's part of the warmth of the Civic. And I think there are not a lot of theatres that are like that. I mean, most of them are bigger and more barny and harder to do. There was a fantastic warmth from the audience last night. I mean, they all wanted us there. If you felt that the minute I walked on, and they went with it. I mean, they found everything that they should have found funny. They kind of froze and went very quiet in the moments when we were trying to do that to them, and they just went through the whole journey. It was lovely. It was really lovely.
It looked by the end when the curtain came down that you had enjoyed it. There must be some nights where you go on stage and yes, you enjoy doing the play, but some nights for whatever reason. And for all the reasons you've maybe said before, can be a bit of a struggle. But whereas it was coming down, it looked like you both actually really enjoyed being in the theatre.
Well, we did.
Night.
I mean, we loved it. I mean, and we love playing it most nights. I mean, there's no question of that. But it does have its ups and downs, and you will carry some of your day into the theatre. And if the audience aren't really pushing you along, then it's harder. You know, other days you'll come in completely and utterly fresh, raring to go, and you'll have a not very good house, but you'll still give them 100%. But I mean, most of the time it doesn't vary that much, because that's what you do. I mean, that's the same as you doing your job. You know, you come in on bad days and you just feel as though you may be a sort of half a yard behind yourself, but actually most people wouldn't even recognize that. But actually last night was particularly nice, and of course it was just nice for us because coming from Hayes, where it had been a little bit more solid and a little less sophisticated audience, actually. I mean, this was a sophisticated audience last night. I mean, they're obviously used to going to the theatre, so they're used to seeing all sorts of stuff, so they were appreciative of what we were doing that was either better, different than things they'd seen before. So it was lovely. I mean, right from the beginning, we got this terrific sense of warmth, and the whole evening went on from there. And I rather anticipate it'll be like that every night. Okay.
Right, well, we'll give you the box office number in just a moment. We'll come back in just a moment. We'll talk a bit more. We've got some travel on. 16 minutes past 3 now. This is BBC Tees. Hey, Starship, Nothing's Gonna Stop Us. John Foster here with Simon McCorkindale. Sleuth is on at the Darlington Civic all this week. Simon, so far, what an absolutely illustrious career you've had. For a lot of people, I think whatever job you go into, it falls between a couple of pegs. A, you find it by accident and you find that you like it, and if you want, for want of a better word, you could get away with doing it as a living. The other reason is you probably do it for the money, but I think where it comes to you is it's the passion. It's the absolute passion for what you do. You've always been passionate about it from a very early age, and that's what's driven you on. Not the money aspect, not the fame aspect, but the art of it.
I think it's true. I think even now, although with obviously a lot of money in television and so forth, years ago there wasn't. I mean, it was theatre or theatre if you go back 50, 60, 70 years. I think most actors go into it because that's what they want to do. So the passion element is not unique. I think it's in musicians, sculptors, painters, all of the arts. It is about the expression and doing the job that is actually the most important thing. And if you then get fame and you get money through it, it's a bonus. Obviously, one wants to make a living.
Yeah.
But actually, most of the time, your real satisfaction comes from that moment like we had last night, you know, at the Civic, when you're standing on that stage and you're giving to an audience who are all enjoying themselves, they're having a lovely time, and you are enjoying doing it for them, and that is what it's about. And yes, I have been absolutely passionate about this business from a very, very young age. I mean, I was kind of inventing, writing plays, doing stuff when I was literally in my early teens. I mean, even earlier, I mean, 8 or 9, I think I wrote my first play at 8.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, rubbish, but nevertheless. But what I remember about it, which is actually the fun part of it, is I just remember the feeling, this extraordinary feeling of warmth and excitement when I went, I'm going to sit down and write a play. And this wave of euphoria that went through my body. And in a way, that's never left me. Every job I go into. So people say, what is your favorite job? I say, well, every job. I love every job. I haven't had a job that I haven't enjoyed, because there's always something to get out of it. And I've been very lucky. I've had a wonderful, varied career. I've written, directed, produced, acted in different countries, different languages. I mean, it's been amazing. Still a ton to do, and I've still got to learn what I'm doing, really. But
you and Michael, you both, who's obviously the sleuth with you, you both went out to the States and made a big success of your career in life out in the States.
I went out there in 19. First of all, actually, I did a movie called Cabo Blanco, which I did with Charles Bronson in 1979. So 79, 80, I was first in California and then got some work. And then in 82, I really sort of was there sort of more permanently. And was one of the first at that era, one of the first English actors to sort of domicile there. I was constantly being invited to auditions and constantly getting on shortlists for things. And actually, never quite getting anything, because there was this period when there were like 4 actors and 3 actresses would be chosen as the shortlist, and I was always the one that sat out there. And it was sort of, so there would be the ethnic American, there'd be the blonde, and then be the dark haired, and then there'd be this funny one with the funny voice, because I refused to play American. I was insistent that I was going to play English, because I thought, you've got tons of American actors out here, I'm not coming here to bring that. I'm here to bring what I'm going to bring. Never got anything, and eventually, actually, it was broken. The mold was broken when Pierce Brosnan got Remington Steele, and about a week and a half later, I got Manimal, and then suddenly there was this whole wave that went through of English actors, and then with all the soap operas, with Dynasty or Dynasty as we called it over here, but Falcon Crest and then the Colbys and all of those, there were about 4 English actors at any one time in any of those shows, and it was a period of about 10 years. Joan also got Dynasty, which was the other big person who made the move, and so there were like 3 of us then, and then eventually there was 4 and 5 and 6, and Michael then joined in that sort of group as he came over. I think he was a couple of years later, so about 84 or thereabouts, coming over to do what he did.
What was it like being in America, a Brit in America at that time? I mean, we're talking the 80s, we're talking Reagan, we're talking all of that, you know, culture that was out there, you know, the glittery that we used to see from programs like the ones you've just mentioned. It must have been incredible to be in like the eye of the storm.
Well, it was amazing. I mean, we were very, very lucky, and most of us had the wisdom to realize that we were lucky, and that we were guests, and that we were there because they wanted us there and not because we had any right to be there. There were 1 or 2 Brits, I'm afraid, who came over and who were very arrogant, thinking that they came over with a better pedigree and all of that, and expected to get work, and thought that they were coming into substandard work to make lots of money. And in actual fact, when that happened, most of them got treated rather badly, because the Americans are not stupid, and they and you are definitely a guest in their country. And when they gave us room, we embraced it. you know, then became a period when actually we were not somewhat welcome because we got a bit cocky about it in certain cases, and some people spoiled it for the many. Back now again, we're now in a more of a resurgence. The English actor is being thoroughly respected in Hollywood, particularly, and several of them doing great stuff on television. I mean, Hugh Laurie and McShane has got his series that he's doing, and there are plenty of others. But actually, yes, it was a very, very fascinating time, and of course, you know, a lot of the work that we all got was in the big nighttime dramas, which, of course, back home, we were not so well respected for, because people thought we'd sort of sold out and gone to do sort of big money-making television in America, and we weren't sitting at home sort of doing the RSC and all of those things. And so people went, oh, they're not real actors, they're American soap opera actors. And, well, you know, it was part of a learning curve and part of a great period in time, and I wouldn't have missed it for the world.
One of doing the research on you, one of the things, one of the high points, I think, and possibly something that did you a lot of favours in the beginning was, and I'm going to say it's 30 years ago now, Death on the Nile.
Yeah.
I mean, that was an incredible film, and it's still repeated now, and it still has this sort of, like, sheen about it.
Well, I mean, they made three of these big, big, big Agatha Christies with massive budgets with big casts. The first one was Murder on the Orient Express, which Albert Finney played the Poirot role. With that incredible stellar cast that they had there, and Michael York was the young lead, or younger lead anyway. And then I got Death on the Nile, which was the next one, and then we had Evil Under the Sun, which was the one that followed. And there were only those three massively big productions.
Right.
But it was extraordinary, the quality of the cast. And I mean, I was 25 years of age when I got that show.
Well, alongside Peter Ustinov, David Niven, Maggie Smith, I mean,
the list was extraordinary. And, you know, and I found myself on my first day on a major movie working alongside Mia Farrow. And Mia was as nervous as a kitten. And so I spent the whole day being gallant and going, oh, it's all right, Mia, everything will be fine. And then at the end of the day, I got home to my hotel and went, oh, I've just done my first day on a major feature. And I, of course, had no nerves whatsoever because I was being Mr. Gallant and trying to look after her. And then and nobody at one point said to me, is this your first movie or anything like that? So they just took me in as if I'd done this all my life. And it went on from there. So it was an extraordinary thing. Incidentally, written by... Yes. Anthony Schaffer, who has written Sleuth.
So it all sort of like pens together.
Well, all these things sort of have a funny way of doing that, yes, absolutely.
The one thing about that film that I always remember is just the line, for God's sake, Jackie, don't, and then you get shot.
Yeah.
I don't know why, but it's just something I remember. We'll come back and talk some more in a minute, if
Lovely.
We may, here
yeah,
at BBC Tees. We're talking with Simon McCorkindale here on the show till 4 o'clock today. Arthur Conley, Sweet Soul Music from BBC Tees. We've got Dexter Fletcher on the way, Emma Pearson from Hotel Babylon as well before 4 o'clock today. We're here with Simon McCorkindale, Sleuth at the Darlington Civic till Saturday. It's running, the box office number, of course, 01325 486 555. Of course, the theatre work, the producing, the directing, the writing, the film work, the horses, which, of course, you're passionate about, and Casualty. You've got so much going on in your life. Casualty must be a buzz, though.
Casualty is an enormous buzz. I mean, it's been a terrific show to do. I've done 6 years, and regrettably now, I mean, I've had to make the choice to move on. I mean, you have to, at times, just draw the line. I was... Within the story of Casualty, I had this opportunity last year when they gave me a sabbatical, and they said, look, we need to do the story of Harry becoming an MP, which means you're going to have to be away from the show for a bit. Would you like to have 5 months off? And I said, actually, I'd love to do that. And when I did, I went straight off into the theatre. I did the Agatha Christie, The Unexpected Guest, on tour. I think that may have come up here, but with a different cast at some point. But and then when that happened, Bill Kenwright himself said to me, would I do Sleuth for him this year? And so when that came up, I thought, yes, I really would like to do that. And maybe with the possibility of it going from here into the West End, from the tour to the West End, I thought, well, maybe now is the time that I have to step away from Casualty, and having done 6 years, it's time to move on. So, yes, I am now, and very close to coming out, as far as the audience are concerned. I'm still in at the moment, but it's only a few weeks now before my last episode.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, we've seen you put the photocopied extracts of the diary in the envelope, and they're in your top drawer at the moment. Yeah. So, will you or won't you? Well, we'll have
you have to wait and see, I'm afraid. But, yes, it comes to an end for Harry.
We've talked to Liz Carling on the show before, of course, who was in the show with you. And they all say tremendous fun, but incredibly hard work. And just the I don't know, the sort of like treadmill you probably put yourself on with the filming, because it's nearly, although not quite, almost like a soap opera, because there's that many episodes coming thick and fast.
Well, yeah, it is. I mean, you know, we none of us object to the hard work. I mean, that's part of what we do. But it is tough. I mean, there's an upside and a downside of everything. I mean, the work is great. We love the volume of it, the variety of it. I mean, the number of different stories and the number of different characters, the actors that come in every week. But it is a bit of a treadmill, and you have times when you just feel as though, you know, you are the hamster in the wheel. Generally speaking, it's a 48-week working week a year, and it's a 6-day week, and we generally work about 12 hours a day. So you actually can be physically at work for 72 hours, and that doesn't include getting there, getting made up, getting changed, and learning the lines for the next day. So your life can be completely taken over by these things. And of course, the other thing that happens is that you never really fully know the schedule. You know, sort of 10 days in advance, roughly what you're going to be doing. About a week in advance, you've got a pretty fair idea. But of course, it never stays the same, because something goes wrong. Scene takes a bit longer than you might otherwise expect. And suddenly they say, well, I'm sorry, you were going to finish tonight, but actually we need you tomorrow morning. Mm-hmm. So it means that all your plans in terms of going places is very difficult. And people have children. I mean, you know, Maggie Cookson, who is also from up north, from Sheffield, had a very difficult time with her, you know, with her children and so forth that she had, and it's really hard. That is very difficult. You suddenly have to deal with all that on a day-to-day basis. And Lizzie did it for 3 years, and then she decided that she'd had enough. She wanted to get back and just change that rhythm in her life. But you know, it's great. We love the work, and it's hard work. It's hard work, and trying to convince people that we're doctors too and know what we're doing. So all the medical stuff was the great challenge.
The appreciation for what people in that line of work do. I mean, you must open your eyes, and you must just think, these people are the saints.
Well,
in the same way that everybody else works hard.
Absolutely, and one really does. And I think that's one of the things that I loved about the show, was the responsibility that Casualty really took in trying to match drama with the reality of what actually the medical profession and the emergency services are really doing. So we're telling the stories. We're also trying to promote the NHS and everything that these people are doing on a daily basis. Trying to do it in a dramatic way, but that is also truthful and representative of what they're doing. So every day, whenever we're working with anything, particularly the medical stuff, we had doctors present for the doctors, we had nurses present for those who were playing nurses, and we had paramedics present for those who were playing paramedics. So you could go and ask every question in the book, and I would always be talking to them, saying, no, if I got this wrong, what would happen? And they said, well, it doesn't matter. I mean, just say those things. No, I want to know what it is that this whole chain of events is, because with that I can give inflection and I can give the confidence to the audience that I know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, sure.
And in so doing, represent doctors in a good way. And I think that I love the fact that BBC were always trying to reinvent the show, but at the same time had terrific respect for the people that they were representing on screen.
It'll be interesting to see what you do with that bit of the diary and see what happens with it. They're just talking to you. You're that full of energy. There just doesn't seem to be enough hours in the day for you, because you're just doing this, that, and everything else. And like I say, reading up on you is just an absolute education. It's been great meeting you. I wish you luck for the rest of the run here in Darlington, and also for the rest of the run around the country. Sleuth is on at the Darlington Civic till Saturday the 23rd, 01325 486 555. Simon, good luck and thanks for coming.
John, thank you very much. It's been a delight.
All right. Thank you. 20 to 4.